नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट 39 चैप्टर 20 इज कॉल्ड एज द स्ट्रक्चर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स द स्ट्रक्चर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स सो टेक्स्ट 39 आई थिंक द संस्कृत इज स्लाइटली डिफिकल्ट टू रिपीट सो वी विल गो टू द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन डायरेक्टली
On
the top of Loka-Loka mountain.
On the top of Loka-Loka mountain.
Chatashru Ashasu.
Chatashru Ashasu.
In the four directions.
In the four directions.
Atma-yonina.
Atma-yonina.
By Lord Brahma.
By Lord Brahma.
Akhila Jagat Guruna.
Akhila Jagat Guruna.
The spiritual master.
Of the whole universe.
Adhiniveshitaha.
Adhiniveshitaha. Adhiniveshitaha.
Established.
Established.
Ye.
All those.
Dvirada Pataya.
Dvirada Pataya.
The best of elephants. Rishabha. Pushkara Chudaha. Vamana. Aparajita. Iti thus. Sakala Loka Sthiti Hetava. The causes of the maintenance.
Of the different planets.
Within the universe. On the top of Loka-Loka mountain are the four Gajapatis, the best of elephants, which were established in the four directions by Lord Brahma, the spiritual master of the entire universe. The names of those elephants are Rishabha, Pushkara-Chuda, Vamana, and Aparajita. They are responsible for maintaining the planetary systems of the universe. There is no purport to this, so we will cover the text 40 and then we will also cover text 41 because text 41 has a purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all transcendental opulences and the master of the spiritual sky. He is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, the Super Soul of everyone. The demigods led by Indra, the King of Heaven, are entrusted with seeing to the affairs of the material world. To benefit all living beings in all the varied planets and to increase the power of those elephants and of the demigods, the Lord manifests Himself on top of that mountain in a spiritual body, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. surrounded by his personal expansions and assistants like Vishwaksena, he exhibits all his perfect opulences, such as religion and knowledge, and his mystic powers, such as anima, lagima, and mahima. He is beautifully situated and he is decorated by the different weapons in his four hands. The various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Narayan and Vishnu, are beautifully decorated with different weapons. The Lord exhibits those forms to maintain all the varied planets created by his personal potency, Yoga Maya. Purport, Pashila Prabhupada ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita 4.6, Lord Krishna says, Sambhavami Atmamayaya, I appear by my internal potency. The word Atmamaya refers to the Lord's personal potency, Yoga Maya. After creating both the material and spiritual world through Yoga Maya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally maintains them by expanding himself in different categories as the Vishnumurtis and the demigods. He maintains the material creation from beginning to end, and he personally maintains the spiritual world. Om Jnanatibhyandasya Jnananjanashalakhaya Chakshurunmilitamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Narayana and Vishnu, are beautifully decorated with different weapons. The Lord exhibits those forms to maintain all the varied planets created by his personal potency, Yoga Maya. So, our conversation on the Vedic cosmology section continues. We are focusing on Bhumandal since last many months. Even describing it takes only months, right? So it is mentioned that on the center of Bhumandal is Mount Meru, and around it are concentric circles, and there are seven dvipas or islands moving progressively outside. Each dvipa is divided into several varshas, and each dvipa is separated from another dvipa by oceans, different oceans. Oceans comprising of different liquids or fluids. At the very center is Jambudvipa, around Mount Meru. Immediately around Mount Meru is Jambudvipa. Outside Jambudvipa is the saltwater lake. Then there is Lakshadvipa, which is twice the size of Jambudvipa. Then outside Lakshadvipa is a sugarcane juice ocean. Then outside that is Shalamali Dvipa, and then outside that is Sea of Wine, and then outside Shalamali Dvipa is Kusha Dvipa, outside that is an ocean of ghee, outside that is Krauncha Dvipa, and outside that is the Sea of Yogurt. Every entity is twice the earlier one. Outside that is Shaka Dvipa, which is an ocean of milk. Outside that is Pushkara Dvipa, which is again twice of the Shaka Dvipa. But this Pushkara Dweep is unique in one sense. It's different in one sense from other Dweepas. This Pushkara Dweep, which is again a big concentric circle, is divided into two parts by another mountain. That mountain is called as Manasattora Mountain, which it says separates the inner part of the Pushkara Dweep and the outer part, one within the this side of the mountain, one outside of it. And it says on top of this Manasattora Mountain, Indra resides on top of this. And it is also said that the sun travels on top of this Manasattora Mountain, and the travel of the sun is called as Samvatsar. And the sun in that travel is in effect encircling the middle entity, which is called as Mount Meru, creating what is called as Uttarayan and Dakshinayan, moving north and south respectively. Of course, each of these lands we saw has got a different ruler, it's got specific types of living entities, and it has got an Ishtadev who they worship. And they have a specific mood of worshipping this particular Ishtadev. The Dweepa which we were discussing last was this Pushkara Dweep. So here it is said that Lord Brahmaji is worshipped in this Pushkara Dweep. And beyond the Pushkara Dweep, it is said that there is a sea of pure water. That is probably the last of the oceans that is described. Pure water finally after all the juices. Right? Now beyond that it is said is a tract of land as big as the radius from Mount Meru, which is the center, to the Manasattora Mountain. So we can imagine now, as if we almost thought it's going to end, but now it's almost doubling up, no? That piece of land. So it's beyond our conception. And then part of that land has got living entities, and there is another land on the outskirts, which is the land of gold, which apparently has been abandoned. Usually we talk, although at least the mining companies will focus on it. It has been abandoned. Because the gold is so resplendent and is so reflective that anything which is put there is lost forever. It cannot be perceived because everywhere there will be reflection, right? It's like sometimes we go to this, what is it called as? Some places where they have reflective mirrors. You have to pay $10 and go and you see everywhere and you don't know where you are. You are kind of lost like that. So we can imagine the whole island, one room can confuse us, a whole island and that too this big. So no use of that gold. Now, beyond that is what is called as the Loka Mountains. So Priti Rakshana Mataji was explaining the other day why it is called Aloka Mountain. Because on one side is Loka, living entities, on the other side is Aloka, which means no living entity. So it's called as Loka Mountain. So Loka Mountains is the barrier between where living entities can reside and where they cannot reside. So that is called as Loka Mountains. Now this Loka Mountain, you can imagine what is the radius of this, considering all this. But more importantly, not only is the radius huge, but the height is also beyond our conception. What is the height of this Loka Mountain? It is said they are so high that they cover the three worlds, which is Bhulok, Bhuvarlok and Swarlok, and it goes up to Dhruvalok. So it's like a CD which is placed, a huge CD of infinite dimension, and around that is a container of Loka Mountain, a hollow container, the mountains surrounding very tall like that. Right? And now inside that particular enclosure, if you put a bulb, what will happen to that bulb? The bulb will only show light to the extent of the confines of the Loka Mountain, and no light will go outside. That is why it is said that beyond the Loka Mountains, it is an area of complete darkness. Complete darkness. So this is the description that is given, and it is said that the sun rays also cannot escape beyond the Loka Mountains. The other side is pitch dark. Now all this is the Lord's adbhut creation, right? And we are only talking about Bhumandal right now. We are not talking about the other lokas. So there are 14 planetary systems like this, and then this is only one universe, one egg, and it is said there are millions and billions of such universes. All together, that is only 1/4 of the spiritual world is still spoken, and that is ever expanding. So therefore, this is enough for all of us to realize how insignificant we are. So at least that point is coming across. And then, not only that, it's not enough to realize our insignificance, it's also equally important to understand the Lord's significance. How infinite He is, and then still the Lord wants to personally reciprocate with all of us. Hare Krishna, leave it for him. Rohit Darshan, Rohit Sajar, nice to hold our congregation. Yeah. Is it today? We pray that he gets very good association there in US wherever he goes. And then of course his own association is good for US. He's such a fixed up devotee. So much in service. He and his work. Hare Krishna. So the Lord is so compassionate that he creates this. Now what is all these things? What is this whole CD about? Each lilac, salt water, etc. Is it a picnic spot the Lord is creating? No, it is a jail he is created. It's a jail. It's a jail of saltwater oceans, land, local, mountain, sun. It's a jail. It's a prison for all those people who have a separatist mentality of enjoying separately from the Lord. Now, the Lord is a different kind of person. People create jails. For example, the jail department of the government will create a jail. But the head of the jail will not say, I am compassionate on the prisoners, so I am also going to go into the jail and stay with them. Will any jailer talk like that? Nobody is going to talk like that, correct? Right. So, but the Lord is not like that. The Lord says, I have created this, but I am going to also personally come into this jail. So it is mentioned in today's verses that the Lord personally comes down on top of the Lokaloka mountain in various forms. Why does he do it? In order to sustain the demigods and the various planets. He wants to make sure everything is working in order. He wants to empower these demigods, as well as he wants to take care of all the living entities, and he wants to protect his own creation. So much he is concerned. Right? Now, the Lord need not come down to Lokaloka mountain to do this. He can sit in the spiritual world and he can say, the task to protect it and everything will be protected. But that is where the conception of God and the conception of the Supreme Absolute Truth, that is different, because the Lord's absolute conception is not just that He is Ishwar. The Lord's absolute conception, Rupa Goswami says, is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He wants to take care of His devotees. He wants to show affection. He just doesn't want to show His phantasmagoria or His brilliance of creation and then leave the souls to their own fate. No. He wants to still come there and show His affection for the devotees. I am there with you, even though you are in this jail. Don't worry. At any point in time, you can turn your face and I will take you back outside this jail. So He comes personally. Now, a description of this, the first time I heard about this Lokaloka mountain was when I was studying Bhakti Vedanta. Now you may wonder, but you did Bhakti Vaibhav before that. You would have studied that in 5th canto. But first time when we study Bhagavatam, we all know what we study. A Lokaloka something. And then when I went to 10th canto, then I saw Lokaloka mountain. I said, I heard it somewhere. Where is it? I went back and saw that was in the 5th canto. Like that. So, there is this beautiful pastime. It's one of my most favorite pastimes. When I heard about Lokaloka mountain. And I vividly remember this pastime. This is when Lord Krishna takes Arjun to Vaikuntha. So what is happening in that pastime? Lord Krishna, what happens is there is a Brahman. All of you know this pastime. There is a Brahman who is continuously losing his children. The moment his wife gives birth, the children die. Or they vanish and die. Right? So therefore this Brahman is absolutely very, very angry and frustrated with the management. When something goes wrong, who people blame? Management. Right? So poor Ugrasen, he didn't do anything. He was ruling. But still he was blamed. And the Brahmana gave the choicest of curses to Ugrasen, incompetent king, like that. So he was going on and on, cursing Ugrasen. And then what happened? Arjun heard this. Arjun said, what's going on? Don't worry, I will protect your children. So, after the 9th son of the Brahman was lost, Arjun said, no more, I promise, I will protect 10th. So Brahmana laughed. Who are you, Arjun?
Even Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna would not protect. You will protect my child. So Arjun says, you don't know who I am. I am Arjun. I have Gandiva. I have even defeated Lord Shiva. He says, so I will take care. You don't worry. You relax. And then what Arjun does with his bow, he creates a shield where nothing can come inside. This mystic abilities, right? He creates all that. And then the wife is inside and delivering the child. The moment child is delivered, child is gone. Okay, so now what happens? Arjun. Now the Brahmana, Arjun cannot show his face to the Brahmana because he has said big words. Right? When we boast of our abilities and then everything is opposite, then what happens? Then we cannot show our face, right? So the Brahmana still comes in front of Arjun. Okay, Gandhi will tell it. You told big things. Where is my child? And then what he calls Arjun? He says, Arjun, you are a eunuch. And that is very insulting to be called as a eunuch. So he calls Arjun like this. And Arjun says, no way I am going to take this insult. Okay, I am going to go and get your son. I will go to the planet of Yamalo. He says. And then he travels to the planet of Yamalo. And then what he does, when he goes to Yamalo, he doesn't find them in Yamalo, the children. Then he says, I will go to Indra, Chandra, Varuna, everywhere he goes. To all the god of the water, the god of the air, the god of the heavens, everywhere he has gone, he could not find. And then Arjun comes back. And what happens? When a warrior gives his word, it's not like the politicians of today. By the time you speak it, it is already forgotten. I never said it to you after 1 second. Right? That's not like that. Over there, you give a word, you keep it or you die, you kill yourself. So Arjun says, I am going to enter the fire and I am going to finish my life. Because I have failed to keep up my word. What kind of Kshatriya I am? That is the kind of Kshatriya spirit he had, right? That I could not protect. And then he is about to enter the fire. Lord comes. He says, hang on, Arjun, what are you doing? I am going to enter the fire. Don't worry, I will go and I am there. Why are you worried? I will come along with you. Now, why I am narrating this pastime? For two reasons. One is the local mountain. Other is, the Lord, in order to protect his devotee, not only comes to the material world from the spiritual world, he is willing to go from the material world to the spiritual world also. Even reverse journey he undertakes. Both things he does, right? That is the beauty of our Lord. He is willing to do anything, right? So then it is said that the Lord puts Arjun on his chariot. Arjun says, where are you going? Just sit and enjoy the ride. What is the in-flight entertainment? And what is the in-flight entertainment Arjun gives? He gets a whole darshan of all these lakshanas doing this, doing the festival, he's crossing everything. So the Lord is traveling like this, if you can imagine, right? And then it is said that the Loka mountains come, right? And then the Lord is going up through the Loka mountains to the various worlds. Because you have to go above and then go out. Like, of course, Lord can go whichever way, but it's a pastime, right? And it is said that the Lord is traveling at the speed of mind. And then he goes above the Loka mountains, that is where it is said. The moment the Lord's chariot crosses the Loka mountains, it is said that the Lord's horses, Saibhya, Sugriva, Meghapushpa and Bahala, four horses, they are completely bewildered and disoriented. Darkness, it is also said, when I went to the, what is that, Janolan Caves in Sydney, they said that, you know, if you stay here and if you are lost here, you will get disoriented and you will go mad. Because darkness can cause disorientation and madness in human beings. And here there is no sun. So you can imagine the horses are all going crazy. They have no idea what is going on. They are bewildered. Of course, Krishna's horse need not be bewildered. Prabhupada's disciples ride in the purport. Saying that Prabhupada said that don't worry, this is just arranged by the Lord. But still they are bewildered. And then what the Lord does in that immense darkness, where someone can get lost into the oblivion of space and time, the Lord gets his release in the Sudarshan Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra is traveling in front. And it is said that obviously the opposite of darkness is what? Light. The Sudarshan Chakra gives so much light that Arjun has to close his eyes. You can't see. There is so much brightness in that whole cosmos. So the entire area which otherwise did not have any light beyond the Loka mountains, because of the Lord Sudarshan Chakra traveling ahead of the chariot, that whole area is illuminated. And then what happens? The Lord continues traveling and they reach the ocean, the boundary, which is the causal ocean. They reach there and then the Lord goes inside that in the chariot, and then they see a palace, and inside the palace they see the beautiful form of Anantashesh, and in that the Lord is lying down. Mahavishnu is lying down and the Lord's beauty is described. It's an amazing chapter. And then Mahavishnu looks at the Lord and he says, welcome. Why Mahavishnu wanted to invite? Because the Mahavishnu says, I did this whole pastime because I wanted to take your darshan. Mahavishnu is also eager to see the beauty of Lord Krishna. Mahavishnu's beauty itself is mentioned in the 89th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. But that Mahavishnu who is so beautiful is enamored by the beauty of the human-like form of Lord Krishna. So, from the local Loka mountain just reminded me of this pastime. How the darkness I was seeing, how Sudarshan Chakra. So, no darkness of the material world cannot be dissipated by the Lord in the physical sense of it. And in the philosophical sense of it also, yesterday we were discussing in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhakti Vaibhav, I was discussing yesterday that the Lord created this jail. And who did he ask to create the jail? He gave this dirty job to Brahma. Why am I saying dirty job? Because it is mentioned that Brahma was not at all happy. Because Brahma had to create avidya, tamas, tamishra, all these, you know, those elements which are given there. Brahma had to create all those elements, moha, by which one gets a feeling of I and mind and gets stuck forever in this world. He produces anger. So, after creating all this, Brahmaji is feeling, what did I create? Who will feel happy? The creator of Bhuvan Dhanamo Ve, will he be very happy? Obviously, he is not going to be very happy, right? Everyone is suffering there, right? But who will be happy creating a jail? It's a thankless job. So, but the Lord has already thought through. So, he comes in the mind of Brahmaji, and the same Brahmaji, as immediately as soon as he creates avidya, he also brings behind vidya in the form of the four Kumaras. Sankhya, Yoga, all those four aspects, Vairagya, like that. So, four Kumaras stand for these principles which can take you back in the reverse journey out of this jail. The Lord also sends them. So, in this case, the Brahmana sons were gone. So, one may wonder if the Lord really wanted to protect the Brahmana's son. Why did he have to originally, you know, kill the Brahmana's son? Why did the Lord agree for Mahavishnu to kidnap? Of course, there are many reasons. One was because Mahavishnu's desire, which Lord Krishna wants to honor. But it also says that Lord did not interfere in the Brahmana's son's disappearance up until the point that Arjun wanted to enter the fire. So by this, the Lord shows us that I care for all living entities. So eventually, I will bring the Brahmana's son. I love the Brahmanas. But more dear to that, that what can compel me to really act fast is when Vaishnava Brahmanas are in danger. So this talks about the preponderance, the domination of Vaishnavas over Brahmanas. So when we talk about local of the mountains, this whole journey, we can read it in the 89th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, why does the Lord come into this world atop this local of the mountains? It is because the Lord wants to be with his devotees in the jail. Akhila Samritamurti. He wants to show his affection. He wants to enjoy rasa with his devotees. Now, as we mentioned before, the Lord's concern for the jiva is shown in one sense, that he is coming into this jail to ensure that his creation is going on, everything is proper, demigods are empowered, everything is fine. So this is one aspect of the Lord's concern. But there is a higher aspect of the Lord's concern. What is the higher concern of the Lord? The higher concern of the Lord is not just overseeing the material facilities and the administration of this universe, but in seeing that the jivas who are trapped in this jail are escaping this big, big prison house. That is a larger concern of the Lord. They are escaping this prison house of darkness. Therefore, the Lord sometimes comes personally to enlighten this dark place with his teachings, like the Bhagavad Gita, etc. Or otherwise he sends his very intimate devotee into this material world. Now the difference between how the Lord deals with his devotees and the devotee deals with the devotees is slightly different, right? The Lord comes, he attracts with his flute, no doubt about it. whoever gets attracted goes back to Godhead. But what about those who never get attracted? There are enough people. Duryodhan was there, he never got attracted, right, to the Lord. What about those people? Who will deliver all those people? So therefore, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurya Kadambini, in the first shower, that people still don't get attracted because they do not have Shraddha. Rupa Goswami starts with Shraddha Sadhu Sangha. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur goes two levels behind. He talks about Shukriti. He says, because as long as people don't develop Shukriti, they cannot get Shraddha. Now, how will someone get Shukriti? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, one gets Shukriti by the either they have done devotional life in the past lifetime and therefore they are doing Shukriti, or because a devotee builds their Shukriti in this lifetime. When Prabhupada's disciples asked Prabhupada, what did we do to get bhakti? What qualifications did we have? Prabhupada said, you didn't have any qualifications, I made your qualifications. And that is precisely how the Lord and devotee operate differently. The Lord is very neutral in that sense. He is impartial. But who is partial? The devotee is partial. Partial even to the rasa. The Lord is partial to his devotee. But the devotee is friendly with even the rogues and ruffians. That is the difference between how the Lord operates and the devotee operates. So in that sense, while it is glorious that the Lord is sitting on top of a Lokaloka mountain, but even more glorious than the Lord is the devotees who are in that spiritual world happy with the Lord, but still who accept the inconvenience of coming down into this material world just to serve the Lord, and more importantly, out of their compassion for the people who are struggling in this jail, right? And who have no security. Therefore, Lord will never interfere with such people, right? And who have more interest or Shraddha in the Lord. So that is the glory of a devotee. So today is the exalted is the appearance of such an exalted personality. His Grace Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya. His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya's appearance day ki
Jai.
So on this occasion, let us talk about how one of the great stalwart associates of the Lord came here and how he lived his life. We will see some important aspects of pastimes from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's lives and teachings. So, I will go in a chronological order. We will start from his birth and childhood. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya was born as Kedarnath Datta in the year 1838. It is said that he was born in a very opulent family, very wealthy family, in a place called Bir Nagar, which is in Ulagram, Nadia, West Bengal. So that is where he had his birth. He was the seventh son of Raja Krishnananda Dutt, who was a devotee of Lord Nityananda. But it is generally said that Vaishnavism was not really very core to that family. His father was there, no doubt about that. But otherwise, people were not generally interested in Vaishnavism in his family. It was not much respected also in his family. But he took birth in that particular family. Therefore, he was called as Daitya Kulera Prahalad. Just like Prahalad was also born in the Asuric family. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also born in a family which is not many devotees. So, Daitya Kulera Prahalad. In such a family, Prahalad like a personality was born. So, after birth, in his childhood, he lived in the mansion of his maternal grandfather in Bir Nagar. And he had his elementary school in a school which his grandmother herself had started. He had his schooling there. Later, it is said that he attended an English school in Krishna Nagar, started by the king of Nadia. Now, his older brother, because of some circumstance, died of cholera. And when his elder brother died, he left that school in Krishna Nagar. So that was his his birth and childhood. Now we'll come to his teenage years. So this is 1849 year. 1838 was the birth, so now he is 11 years old, just about to enter the teenage.
Now, as soon as he was about to enter teenage, his father passed away. And when his father passed away, all that wealth of the family went down. And gradually, the whole family went into penury or poverty. One year later, at the age of 12, his mother arranged his first marriage to the 5-year-old daughter of some acquaintance. His wife was 5 years old. Okay. So, now his uncle, whose name was Kashi Prasad Ghosh, it seemed that his uncle at that time, it is said that his uncle had mastered English because India was under British rule at that point in time. So, his uncle had mastered English under British education and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was homeschooled in Calcutta when his father left. Now, this Kashi Prasad Ghosh, it is said, he was a central figure in literary circles and he was also an editor of the Hindu Intelligencer. Now, at this young age, Kedarnath, which is the name of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, before he became Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his name was Kedarnath. So, at this young age, young Kedarnath assisted his uncle with select appropriate articles to publish in the newspaper. So, his scholarly abilities were manifesting at a very, very early age in his life. 1856 to 1857, Bhaktivinoda Thakur now becomes 18, 19 years of age. He entered a college in Calcutta. And he started writing extensively in the English language and in Bengali language. Now, not only was he adept at English, but he was also very adept and knowledgeable with English literature. It was a very, very special aspect, right? So much so that he composed a 2-part English epic called The Poriad, which described the life of Porus, who had met Alexander the Great. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually used to write on these subject matters at a very early age in his life. Now, during this time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya, Kedarnath Datta, he got very attracted by Christian theology over Advaita Vedanta. Okay, obviously, because of the personal aspect. They were not so impersonal, right, at that time. So, Advaita Vedanta was, of Shankaracharya was very impersonal in nature. So, he got attracted to Christian theology. Of course, we will later on see how he moves on from that. So, Kedarnath Datta, he used to spend hours comparing the writings of Christian reformers. And at the British Indian Society, he gave a lecture on the evolution of matter. All this is around the teenage years to his early adulthood. So, you can see the kind of scholarliness of his personality. In 1858, now he has become 20 years old, coming out of his teen now, right? He returned to Nadia and found that the native village of Nadia was completely ruined and deserted owing to cholera. Again, the epidemic had struck and most of his relatives were killed, right? Now, only 2 surviving members were there in his family. And who were the 2 surviving members? His mother and his paternal grandmother. The paternal grandmother, both were the only survivors. So, with them, he returned to Calcutta. And according to the last wishes of his grandfather, he took a pilgrimage and travelled to all the monasteries and temples in the state of Orissa. So, now his journey of Yatra is starting at this age. Now, obviously, when you go to a Yatra, one becomes very introspective, right? When you are in the Holy Dham. So, he began to consider the questions of the means of his grihastha livelihood. Lot of larger questions of life started coming in his mind. So, he lost interest. There was some inclination to do business, which he lost completely. And he saw that there is a lot of dishonesty one has to do to maintain livelihood out of business. So, when he went to this Holy Dham, something happened and he said, no, I am not going to adopt any dishonest means. So, I am not even going to consider business because you have to bluff to do business, right? Therefore, he started as a school teacher where you don't have to do any of this, right? Just teach and come out.
So he started as a school teacher of the Medinapur High School. But he was so good as a school teacher that soon he was made the headmaster of the school. So his excellence was always there in whichever profession he takes. 1860, he becomes 22 years of age. His first son, Achyutananda, was born. Now, unfortunately, as soon as Achyutananda was born, his first wife died. Along during the childbirth itself, she died. Therefore, he did second marriage to Bhagavati Devi, who then was to be the wife for the rest of his life. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur during this time published a book in English that described all the ashrams and temples in the state of Orissa. So, not only he did his Tirtha Yatra, but also he started writing on the holy lands. Now, this was a very important turning point in his life. What was the turning point? During his post as headmaster, he started looking into the various religious sects, philosophies and practices, and he realized that people in general were taking religion very cheaply. Kaitava Dharma was at its peak. It is during this time that he came to understand the unique importance of the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is why this is the very turning point in his life. 1860, 22 years old. And that was the turning point. He saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings was not very well represented in that contemporary society at that point in time. And people were polluting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And therefore, it was almost like a dark spot on the Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage. So he took it upon himself to resurrect the situation there. 1861, 23 years of age, he accepted the post of now headmaster to deputy magistrate. He accepted the post of deputy magistrate in the government of Bengal, and later, obviously, when you take the post of deputy magistrate, you are coming in touch with so many government officials. So what happened? He saw that there was so much of corruption amongst the government workers in India. Is it news to anyone? It's worse now. But he wanted to do something about it. That was the difference. Nowadays in India, what happens? We go to government office, what is it? Chalta hai. I say chalta hai. This is how it works. No, that is how it is. I say chalta hai, this is how it works. It's okay. Everything is accepted. But he did not want to accept. He wanted to affect a change wherever there was corruption. So he took the role of a collectorate officer, where you can be very vigilant, you can catch people, right? So, now so much of responsibilities in office, but amidst this, there was another side to it. He wanted to keep writing books and poems. So, collectorate officer is a very passionate job. And writing books is a job in the mode of goodness. So, he was able to manage books, right? 1866, 28 years of age. Deputy collector and deputy magistrate. He became a deputy magistrate. It is said that he was so good at his job as a deputy magistrate that he settled disputes between tea farmers and helped secure public aid to build a school for teaching Nyaya Shastra. So he was able to affect a lot of things to promote Vedic teaching, get government funding and all that. Eventually, because of his presence in the government for so long and his effectiveness in his various roles, because of his performance, he was recognized and he took charge of the governmental and judicial departments. So on one hand, his excellence on his job was showing, was growing, and on the other hand, his literary knowledge was also showing. So during this time, he exhibited expertise in Persian language and Urdu language. This was the scholarliness and corporate efficiency, both going together, hand in hand, right? 1868, 30 years of age, he became deputy magistrate of the entire West Bengal. Not deputy magistrate of some small Zilla Parishad or something like that. Of the entire West Bengal, deputy magistrate. What a position. It is said that at that time that it was the highest rank in the Indian government that could be held by an Indian person during the British rule. During this time, it is said that another big event happened in his life. What happened? He obtained rare copies of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. He obtained these copies. And he read Chaitanya Charitamrita so repeatedly that his faith increased. To what point? That he became absorbed in Chaitanya Charitamrita all day and all night. Absorption. Now, obviously, when you have such absorption, then what will happen? Incessant prayers will start coming out from your heart. So he began incessantly submitting heartful prayers for the Lord's mercy. He understood Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in that ecstasy, he published his first song on Lord Chaitanya, which is called as Satchidananda Prema Alankar. 1869, 31 years of age, Kedarnath. Coming back to his erudition, he delivered a speech on Srimad Bhagavatam to a large congregation of prominent men from India as well as from England. His official duties now meant that he was transferred to a place called Champara, and his second son Radhika Prasad was born. Now something unique happened in Champara. What happened in Champara? Here it is said that people were worshipping a ghost under a banyan tree. Now this ghost was a different kind of a ghost. Very involved ghost. Not just scaring people. But he was very influential on the judge over there. So the rascals used to, you know, utilize the mystic abilities of the ghost to influence the judge's judgment and turn it in favor of the villains. Okay, this is what was happening. So somehow this ghost had to be driven away from there, right? So he advised a local scholar who came and told him this issue, that you go under this tree and you recite this scripture Srimad Bhagavatam day in and day out under the tree. And it is said that just by the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam under the tree, in 1 month the tree crashed to the ground and the ghost ran away from it. It never to be heard of. So by that, what happened? Sometimes people may not read Srimad Bhagavatam. People may not have, people like miracles. Okay, when they say Srimad Bhagavatam, you read ghost painting. Ghost painting? What is the book? Can you show me? So in this pastime, he renewed the faith of the on Srimad Bhagavatam unto the hearts of these, otherwise these people who had otherwise lost their faith. So that is why he did this pastime, not to show his mystic ability or anything like that. And that too he directed to Srimad Bhagavatam. He did not that I will now drive the ghost there, no, with my mystic abilities. Nothing like that. This is how a devotee operates. Then obviously his ecstasy was going higher and higher now for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had done most of his pastimes, in most of the time where he spent in Jagannath Puri. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur moved to Jagannath Puri. 1873, 35 years of age. Now it is said that when he moved to Jagannath Puri in that role, he met this joker called as Bishak Sen. Bishak Sen was claiming that he was the incarnation of Vishnu, Mahavishnu. He said, I am incarnation of Mahavishnu. And he said, and he is said that he was keeping the British government also at bay. No police officer could touch him because he was such an influential person, right? And he had a lot of mystic powers. Now, in the name of being Mahavishnu, he used to take a lot of funds from people and misuse those funds, saying that I will construct temple. And then he used to also have a lot of dalliance with the women over there, saying that I am doing Rasalila. Now, along, as if that was not enough, along with this Bishak Sen, there were two other rascals, his associates, who each was claiming, one was saying that, yeah, I am his friend, I am Brahma, another was saying, I am Rudra. All the trinity came down there, right? So, now, the British were also very scared of this fellow. So, they gave, and that was Mr. Ravenshaw, he was the district commissioner at that point in time. So he requested Kedarnath Datta, can you handle this situation and do something about this Bishak Sen? So Kedarnath Datta accepted the challenge because he was always against Kaitava Dharma. So now he got another opportunity to drive away Kaitava Dharma, and a devotee takes every single opportunity. So he took this opportunity. So he went to Vishaksen and he told Vishaksen. First he appreciated Vishaksen. Like many times, you know, when you're cultivating, you keep on appreciating. Right? First he appreciated, wow, what mystic powers you have, great personality, what powers, like that. The source of all these powers is Lord Jagannath. So why don't you come to Puri along with him? He tried the nice way of taking him to Puri. But that fellow was a rascal, Vishaksen. He said, what? That Puri Jagannath, he is only a hunk of wood. Mahavishnu is very cheer. I am Mahavishnu. Why you want to go there to the wooden deity? Oh, I am Mahavishnu right in front of you. Kedarnath Datta said that, okay, I gave you a chance now. You are not going to improve. So what happened? He ordered an arrest warrant. And guarded by 100 plus policemen, the trial went on for 18 days. He threw this fellow in jail. Now, obviously, he was very popular. So thousands of people were demanding his release. But Vishaksen was a mystic yogi. So what did he do? He has some mystic powers. Not a yogi. We don't call him a yogi. It's a very high word. Very in respect. He had some mystic powers. Some tantric baba types. Right? So therefore, what happened by his mystic powers, he did something by which Kedarnath Datta's daughter Kadambi, she fell severely ill, became seriously ill to the point that she was going to almost die. And when the daughter is going to die, who became most concerned? Mother. So mother started telling, okay, why don't you leave this Vishaksen, let him go, why are you interfering with him? See, he has got mystic power, see, our daughter is about to die. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no, I want to protect him, dharma, protecting bhakti, driving out Kaitava Dharma, I am not going to budge from the position. So he was relentless in pursuing this rascal, Vishaksen, right? So the last day of the trial, it is said that Vishaksen did something and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kedarnath Datta himself fell seriously ill. But what happened? The court pronounced its verdict on that jail, on that day, on Vishaksen. And he was being readied up to serve a long sentence in the jail. Now, there was a clue that he got saying that all these mystic yogis, they have all their power in their hair. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur immediately ordered that he be shaved up. So the moment his hair was cut, Vishaksen just collapsed. All his mystic powers went away because it was all there in his hair. And it is said after 3 months, he was moved to Midnapur Central Jail. And obviously, because a person who is used to adoration and cheap respect, when he loses that, he has no other thing to give him satisfaction. Therefore, what happens? Such a person eventually ends up being miserable. And therefore, it is said that Vishaksen took poison and died. So that was the end of Vishaksen. 1874 to 93. 36 years of old to 55 years of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What happens now? Bhaktivinoda Thakurji spent much of his time, it is said, in seclusion during this period, chanting the holy names, though he simultaneously executed his worldly duties with a lot of perseverance. During this time, it is said, he wrote several books in Sanskrit, which includes the Krishna Samhita, Tattva Sutra, Tattva Vivek. Plus, in Bengali, he wrote a lot of literature such as Kalyana Kalpataru. And in 1874, he wrote a scripture called as Datta. He commented on a scripture called Datta Kaustubha. Now, while in Jagannath Puri, he established a Vaishnava discussion society called as Bhagavat Samsat in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. And here it is said that all the prominent Vaishnavas at that time joined except one Babaji. Why? This Babaji thought that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not an authorized Acharya. He had doubts on his ability. Why? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't wear a kanti mala. That is the reason that he is not worth a fight. Right? And he was not even wearing tilak. Right? Obviously, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mood was to go out and connect with the common man. So many times Vaishnavas have to do that. I remember once His Holiness Devadatta Maharaj, when he visited Dubai, he dressed up with shirt and pant. and then went. Now it must have been a really difficult austerity for a sannyasi to do that. But sannyasis are not about sannyasasana. Sannyasis know the import of sannyasasana. Exalted personalities, they live only for the satisfaction of the Lord and for the mission of the Lord. This is missionary spirit, willing to do anything. But sometimes people can be criticized for this because people will judge Vaishnava based on their external. So this Babaji was criticized. Where is this Kantimala? Where is this Tilak? Soon thereafter, the person who was criticizing that fellow, he got illness, severe illness. So much so that in the dream, Lord Jagannath appeared to that person and told him, you go and fall at the feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and pray for his mercy. Otherwise, you have no chance of overcoming your illness and death. You are going to die. So he accepted that and went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very merciful on him. And then it is said that, you know, he was cured by that, by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, not only was he cured, that is just a small benefit. More bigger benefit of that was, he developed faith in the spiritual prowess of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he accepted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's exalted position. Bhaktivinoda Thakur soon became manager of the Jagannath Puri temple complex and he used the government powers because he was very powerful, influential in the government. So when he became manager of the complex, he used his government purpose to establish regularity in the worship of Lord Jagannath devis. So in the temple courtyard of Jagannath Puri, it is mentioned that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur established a Bhakti Mandap where daily discourses of Srimad Bhagavatam were heard. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would spend long hours studying Srimad Bhagavatam and speaking Krishna Katha from Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Especially in which place? In Tota Gopinath temple. In Tota Gopinath temple, in the tomb of Haridas Thakur and the Siddha Bakul tree and the Gambira, all these great places of Jagannath Puri, he used to continuously speak Srimad Bhagavatam. 1874 comes. Something again significant now. In a house near Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, it is said that his most illustrious fourth son was born, answering his prayer to the Lord to send a ray of Vishnu. Personality is none other than Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, a ray of Vishnu, who is born to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. He named the boy Bimal Prasad, who would then become Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered that the king of Puri had misappropriated rupees 80,000. At that time, you can imagine what money that was. 80,000 rupees misappropriated. It was the crores of rupees now, right? From the temple. So what did he do? He did not care that it was the king. He forced the king to offer Lord Jagannath 52 times a day meals in return. Mindset. Is it a punishment? It's actually a reward in one sense. Okay? But the part of Jagannath Puri, that king, he was egoistic, you know. He took as a punishment. Now this diminished his money quickly, it is said. And the king was furious and began, with the help of 50 pandits, a 30-day tantric ritual to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur through black magic. Right? But it is said at the end of it, the king's son died. Nothing happened to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Right? 1878, age of 40, Bhaktivinoda Thakur left Puri. Again, something significant is going to happen. He went to Bengal and saw Navadvip, Shantipur and Kalna. Here, he published two famous books, Krishna Samhita and Krishna Kalpatur. So much writings he has given to the world, mind-boggling. And these books caught the attention of many Indian pundits and educated men. Around this time, he met his spiritual master, his initiating Diksha Guru, Srila Bipin Bihari Goswami, and who descended from the Janava family, Nityananda Parampara. 1881, he is 43 years old, he began publishing the famous journal called as Sajjana Toshani, his Vaishnava journal. Now, at this point in time, Jagannath Puri, Mayapur, he had experienced, but he had not experienced Braja, right? So, he desired to see the land of Vrindavan. And he took 3 months leave for this purpose and came to Vrindavan. Who did he meet in Vrindavan? Again, a life changer for him. His eternal Siksha Guru. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. He met Jagannath Das Babaji here. And Jagannath Das Babaji was unique because he was a traveling mendicant, right? So he used to spend 6 months between Navadvip and Vrindavan. He was always traveling. So on meeting Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur surrendered to him and accepted him as his eternally worshipable Siksha Guru. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji is very
senior.
On the altar. So, this was his Siksha Guru. So, he authored so many books and commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. He authored what is called as Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrit. Sri Chaitanya Charanamrit. So many literatures on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Calcutta, he started the Sri Vishwa Vaishnava Sabha dedicated to preaching the pure bhakti as taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He lectured and gave readings on books like the Bhakti Rasamrita the Sindhu. So it was he who popularized the nectar of devotion during this time. And it was at this time that he learned that devotees recognized, the people around him, they recognized his devotional prowess as well as his scholarly prowess. And now he got his title as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Till this point in time, he was only known as Kedarnath Datta. He became 49 years old now. This is 1887 we are talking about. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur resolved now to quit government service and go to Vrindavan for the rest of his life. One night, while he was still in his government service, something unique happened. What happened? He had a dream. In this dream, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to him in this dream. What was this dream? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, you will certainly go to Vrindavan. But first, there is some service you have to perform in Navadvip." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu probably in Bengal. Because what is Navadvip? It is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So based on this dream, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave up his plans to retire. And he secured a transfer to Krishna Nagar and he went to Navadvip. What happened one day? One night he was sitting in a roof of what is called as the Rani Dharmashala in Navadvip, and as he was chanting at a distance, he spotted a tall tree next to a building. That tree was giving out a remarkable effulgence. So he went to Krishna Nagar library and he got all the old manuscripts to study the location of that particular tree which was giving this particular effulgence. He went through manuscripts of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Navadvip, Dham Parikrama, and some old maps of Nadir. Further, he went to some elderly people in the village and spoke to them. And as he was doing all this, he was uncovering different facts about that particular place in Navadvip. And eventually, he found out that that was just like that, the tree was not giving any effulgence, because that is the spot where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his birth. That is why the tree was so effulgent. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in his dream and said, "Don't go to Vrindavan, you go there, because you have to rediscover Mayapur, my birthplace." That was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution. However, a devotee will make no major conclusions in his life without consulting his Guru. So therefore, he went to Jagannath Das Babaji and he said that till Jagannath Das Babaji confirms, I will still not accept my scientific research or my logical research. I will confirm it, my Guru says so. So he went, he brought Jagannath Das Babaji, who was blind, and Jagannath Das Babaji could not even walk, he was like hunchback type person, right? So he was being carried on a basket. But when Jagannath Das Babaji came to that spot, he said, okay, take me down. And he started jumping high, feet in the air. You can imagine, he was already 100 plus years old, correct? How can an old man jump so much? But all this happened. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur realized, and Jagannath Babaji said, yes, this is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mayapur Dham ki
jai.
So this is the greatness. So today Mayapur Dham, we are eternally grateful to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because of him, it was revealed to us. Now, in glorification of this sacred place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur soon published the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, where he commented and he gave great details about this place. Now, in the same year, he also renovated the house of Sri Jagannath Das Babaji at Ravas Ghat, his spiritual master's house. He renovated. Now, he took leave from his office. He took leave from his office for 2 years and acquired a plot of land at Srila Godrupadvip, where he built his retirement house or his bhajana kutir, which is called as Surabhi Kunj. He built his retirement house. 1890, age of 52. Bhaktivinoda Thakur established what is called as the Namahatta. He is the father of the Namahatta in that sense. He established Namahatta, which is called as the marketplace of the holy name. Continuously singing glory, glorifications of Lord Krishna. So, sometimes he would have Jagannath Das Babaji sit, visit him and do kirtan with him, constantly chanting. And soon this movement started spreading, the Namavata started spreading over entire Bengal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mercy not only was confined to Bengal, but it reached far beyond the geographical boundaries of India now, or even, already said, Asia. It went spread throughout Asia. He was intent on spreading Krishna consciousness to the Western countries also. So, he wrote a book, his book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and precepts. He wrote that book now in the English language because he wanted to give this to the Western world. He wanted to take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western countries. Now, obviously, excellence was already there in such an empowered associate of the Lord. So, this book which he wrote, it is said, found its way into the library of the Royal Asiatic Society in London. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book went to Royal Asiatic Society in London and the library of McGill University in Canada and many other respectable institutions in the West. Further, it was reviewed in the Journal of the Royal Asiatic Society by Mr. F.W. Fraser, who was an erudite European scholar of his time. 1908, he becomes 70 years old. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur now, having accomplished all this, he took the external dress of a Babaji, devoting the remainder of his life in bhajan, solitary chanting of the holy names. Now, even though his mood was to become a bhajanandi, the Goshti Anandi in him did not subside. So even though he did this, in the first 2 years, again he will travel between Calcutta and Puri and still continue to write books. Right? Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is very important. He made three predictions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya made three predictions. What were the three predictions? Prediction number one, a personality will soon appear. A personality will soon appear. He is predicting. A personality will soon appear and this personality will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First prediction. Who is the personality? La Prabhupada ki jai. This was predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prabhupada was not even born at that time. It was a prediction. Second prediction. Very soon, this chanting of Harinam Sankirtan will be spread all over the world. People from America, people from England, France, Germany, Russia will take up kartans and mridangas and chant Hare Krishna in their towns. This was predicted. Who could have imagined this? It was predicted by this personality there. It is said, fair-skinned foreigners will come to see Mayapur Dham, a village in India. Someone from US traveling, somebody would have laughed at this. Impossible. Right? Third tradition. Fair-skinned foreigners will come to see Mayapur Dham and join with Bengali Vaishnavas to chant, Jai Sachinandan! Jai Sachinandan! What kind of prediction is this? Who would have believed? But he predicted all this. This is the greatness of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. 1914. On June 23rd, just before noon at Jagannath Puri, Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashay disappeared from this world, which incidentally coincided with the disappearance day of Srila Gadadhar Pandit. His transcendental remains were taken from Orissa back to his beloved place of Godrumali, the land of Lord Chaitanya and his eternal pastimes. Amidst huge sankirtan, chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, amidst this huge sankirtan chanting, his remains were interred in Godrumali. It is said in the Gaurav-Ganodesha Deepika that Bhakti Vinod Thakur is none other than Kamala Manjari in Krishna Leela. Such an exalted personality, so much of contribution without which we wouldn't exist today. Right? So on this day, of his appearance day, it will take some time and to thank and express our immense gratitude to this great personality without which we wouldn't have found the tenets of bhakti. His grace Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashay ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.